we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's get your weekend started off right with a sports update from our man in Abuja, Nigeria, Samson Omale. Samson has a look at some news related to technology that will be used in African soccer soon.
We begin with the Confederation of African Football, where the continent's highest soccer ruling body has decided for the first time to introduce the Video Assistant Referee, VAR, during the finals of this season's CAF Interclubs competition, the Total CAF Champions League 2018 and Total CAF Confederations Cup 2018. This follows the approval of the CAF Executive Committee at its meeting of the 27th to the 28th of September 2018 in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. The decision comes after the success of the premier implementation of the latest refereeing technology during the Total CAF Super Cup last February between Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco and TP Mazembe of DR Congo in Casablanca. Staying with CAF matters, Cameroon will host the 2019 African Cup of Nations under the auspices of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. This reassuring message was part of a high-level discussion between the President of the Republic of Cameroon, Paul Biya, and the President of the Confederation of African Football, Ahmed Ahmed, at the Unity Palace in Cameroon. Speaking to the press shortly after meeting with the President of Cameroon, CAF President Ahmed Ahmed debunked rumors that CAF will withdraw the hosting rights from Cameroon. He said CAF has never envisaged such a scenario, that normally it is a country that has the final say. Mr. Ahmed explained that the continental body was satisfied with the government's outright willingness to develop football infrastructure before the start of the competition.
C'est le Cameroun qui pourra nous dire demain, on est prêt.
In baseball news, the South African Under-23 baseball team will be competing in the Under-23 Baseball World Cup in Colombia from the 29th till the 28th of October. They will go into the tournament as huge underdogs against the best teams in the world, many of whom's players are professionals, but the experience will stand South Africa baseball in good stead for the future. Each player had to fork out as much as $3,000 for the tournament, with lots of fundraising efforts and some having to take out bank loans. Hayden Marty and Joshua Halverson are both Under-23 baseball players.
It's a great opportunity. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to go showcase your talent against the world's best, to play against the world's best. It's good for our country, you know, come back and teach the younger guys, be good role models to them, and teach what we learned up there.
Well, look, at the end of the day, all these guys are either professional or semi-professional, where we are obviously not. But at the end of the day, that gives us the go-ahead plan because we are considered the underdogs, which means they're not going to see what's coming on our side.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson, and we hope you have a sporty weekend. One note, of course, African baseball player Gift Ngope wound up playing 13 games in this recent Major League Baseball season for the Toronto Blue Jays. The South African baseball team is the lowest-ranked team in the Under-23 World Cup tournament. They are 26th in the world, and they're in the same group with powerhouses Japan, Taiwan, Mexico, and the Netherlands, who are ranked 2nd through 7th in the world. Following on Samson's discussion of soccer news in Africa, it's worth passing along this news. The Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo is being held out of his team's upcoming matches in Poland and Scotland due to his name being mentioned in rape allegations in the United States. Catherine Mayorga says Ronaldo assaulted her in Las Vegas in 2009. He's denied this allegation. Ronaldo was in the news this summer as he completed a move from longtime home Real Madrid of the Spanish League to Juventus of Italy just after the conclusion of the World Cup. Ronaldo also missed some earlier games with Portugal as he was taking a break this summer ahead of his debut for Juventus. Las Vegas police say they are investigating the allegations, while Ronaldo's sponsors, including Nike, say they're watching the news carefully. Ronaldo called the allegations fake news on a social media post. Nike says it's deeply concerned by the allegations. Mayorga's lawyer says that even though his client accepted a financial settlement from Ronaldo, she was inspired to go through with her complaint due to the recent Me Too movement, in which women have been publicly addressing sexual harassment and assault. The Me Too movement has called out powerful men in media and entertainment like Kevin Spacey and producer Harvey Weinstein. Part of the conversation in the case is whether or not the non-disclosure part of the settlement is enforceable.
Yes, the Me Too movement and the women who have stood up and disclosed sexual assaults and publicly has given Catherine a lot of courage and has, to a great extent, enabled her to come forward and to file her civil complaint and also to go to the police department. With regards to the settlement, is being challenged through this lawsuit to determine whether or not it's valid or whether it's voidable or void. If, in fact, Ms. Mayorga is determined by the court to have lacked capacity to enter into the agreement, then the agreement is not enforceable.
That's Leslie Mark Stovall, the lawyer for Cristiano Ronaldo's accuser Catherine Mayorga, speaking in Las Vegas. Samson talked about baseball in his report, so let's catch you up on the Major League Baseball playoffs, which began their best-of-five-game division series games on Thursday night. The Milwaukee Brewers took a 1-0 series lead over the Colorado Rockies with an extra innings win. Mike Moustakas hit a single in the bottom of the 10th inning to score Christian Yelich for a 3-2 victory. The teams play again today. Moustakas talked about his game-winning hit.
That's one of the best relievers in all of baseball. So you're just trying not to do too much. Try and put the barrel to the ball. And, you know, I was fortunate enough that he threw me another pitch over the plate and got the barrel to it that time and hit some outfield grass. And, you know, it feels pretty good to finish the way we did.
That's Mike Moustakas of the Milwaukee Brewers. Also on Thursday night, the Los Angeles Dodgers jumped out to a 1-0 series lead over the Atlanta Braves with a 6-0 win powered by three home runs and great pitching by Korean Hyunjin Ryu, who struck out eight Braves in seven innings. For more on the baseball season that just wrapped up and the playoffs that are ahead, including tonight's American League games, we're joined once again by USA Today baseball writer Gabe Lax. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking about Major League Baseball with Gabe Lax from USA Today. Gabe, one thing I wanted to mention, and I suppose the way I'll get to it is by talking about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which Sonny and I talked about earlier this year because it was really right down the street from Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C. One of the big moments of that game was the local hero Bryce Harper coming back to win the Home Run Derby, a home run exhibition tournament on the day before the game. Then we got to the game itself, and one of the takeaways from the game was that there were a lot of moments where nothing really happened during the game. There were a lot of strikeouts and a lot of walks and a few key home runs, but there weren't very many base runners other than that. What do you think about the trend in baseball these days of hitters swinging for the fences and not being worried about missing the ball completely and striking out?
Yeah, it's certainly I've been identified as a problem by just people within and without the game, be it announcers or league officials or others. Players don't feel like it's a problem because they're just trying to survive. They're trying to hit in an environment where pitchers throw harder than they ever have before. It used to be rare to see a pitcher throw 98 miles per hour with his hardest fastball. Nowadays, that's pretty standard, and as velocity continues to go up, strikeouts are inevitable. And it presents a conundrum for baseball because you can't legislate velocity, you can't legislate a hitter's approach. At the same time, if nobody's putting the ball in play, save for every few minutes, that doesn't make for a lot of action. So that's something that you wonder if they'll be able to manage organically, if hitters will make adjustments. The game has always evolved, so it feels like it needs to evolve again, because right now it's at a point where people aren't really inclined to just put the ball in play. They're trying to hit home runs or doubles to counteract these exotic defensive alignments that teams are doing, and the result is a lot of strikeouts. And it's not particularly pleasing unless you're a real big fan of pitching, but I think you'll see it evolve back. I think it's inevitable. Teams might try to develop players in a different fashion or scout players who have more of a diverse skill set than merely just being able to hit the ball over the fence. So the game isn't in a great spot right now in terms of the way it's being played, but I think slowly but surely you'll see a little bit of a correction in that area.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm in for Sonny Young this week here in Washington. And we're talking with Gabe Lax, the baseball reporter for USA Today, about the upcoming baseball playoffs. We just had a couple of wild card games to see which team would advance to play one of the division winners in both the American League and the National League. Last night's game featured the Oakland Athletics playing against the New York Yankees in New York City, and the Yankees wound up winning to set up what might be the biggest series of the first part of the playoffs. That's a rematch between the big rivals from the American League East. That's the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. The teams actually haven't played in the playoffs in quite some time. So, Gabe, I ask you, what will this playoff series be like that matches up a team that's been called the Baby Bombers with the Red Sox, the team that had the most wins during the regular season in baseball?
It's interesting. The first time these teams have met in the playoffs since 2004, when the Red Sox made a historic comeback to beat the Yankees and go on to win their first World Series in 86 years. And at that point in time, in the couple years that followed, the great rivalry seemed to get really tired just because the actors were kind of the same and you'd sort of seen it all. Well, now I think the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry has really been energized, and this is going to be a fantastic sort of stage for it. When you talk about some of the elite young players in the game, some of the most charismatic players in the game, from Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez on the Red Sox, both of whom should finish in the top 3 to 5 of American League MVP voting, to their ace left-hander Chris Sale, who can remind a lot of people of Randy Johnson in his prime. And then you go over to the Yankees with just their massive sluggers in Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. It's just so much charisma and so much power and so many big star names in the series. Now the Red Sox, not having played in the wild card game, have a little bit of an advantage pitching wise. They'll be able to start Chris Sale in game one, and they should have the upper hand, but the Yankees are just so powerful that you certainly can't underestimate them.
I'm joined by Gabe Lax from USA Today, and we're talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Gabe, many of our listeners might need a reminder about who won the World Series last year. It was a matchup between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Houston Astros. Houston, if our listeners remember, was coming off of a devastating flooding and resulting from the hurricane that had happened toward the end of the regular season. Why don't you remind us, Gabe, who won that series between the Dodgers and the Astros and how those teams are situated for the playoffs this year?
Yeah, the Astros prevailed in 7 games, and I actually think we might see a repeat in the World Series this year, just because the Dodgers are back. They won their division with that one-game playoff. They have there's really no easy opponent in these playoffs, but they probably got the best draw in the division series in the Atlanta Braves, who are young and a little bit ahead of their time and perhaps don't have the great pitching that a lot of the other teams do. So I think the Dodgers really do have the upper hand in getting through the National League and getting back to the World Series. The American League, it's really interesting. There's a pretty big imbalance this year. It's kind of widely acknowledged that the three best teams by far in baseball this year are the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros. The Astros do not have an easy first-round assignment. They play the Cleveland Indians, who, of course, are seeking their first World Series since 1948. But the Indians, while a tick below the other two teams, they only won 91 games, while the other three teams won at least 100 games. Very stout first-round opponent for the Astros. They feature great pitching. They strike out a lot of hitters, and the Astros have struggled to hit at home. But I think the Astros will get through that, and I think they will match up really well with the survivor of the Red Sox-Yankees series. So I think I'm kind of feeling like we'll see a repeat World Series this year. Don't hold me to that, because an awful lot can happen, but I think it lines up pretty well for both those teams to defend their respective league titles.
You know, Gabe, I was working at the final series of the year in Baltimore following the Houston Astros as they played the historically bad Baltimore Orioles to wrap up the season. And some of the people around the Astros were saying that even though the Astros won the World Series last year, that they might be even better this year, especially because of their better pitching overall. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the acquisition of Gerrit Cole from the Pittsburgh Pirates gives them a certain added dimension they didn't have at all last year. And, of course, they've enjoyed the services of Justin Verlander for an entire season. Verlander, the only pitcher in quite some time to win both an American League MVP and Cy Young Award in the same season with the Detroit Tigers back in 2014. He really rediscovered himself late last year, and they were able to enjoy his services in the rotation all season. On top of that, Alex Bregman, their great young third baseman, really had a chance to shine this year and kind of emerged as one of the top five players in the American League. If not for Mookie Betts, I think he might be the American League MVP, in fact. So I think it's a matter of a team that was relatively young, and everybody's a year older and mostly better. Then the addition, essentially, of two full-time starters they didn't have for most of last season, who were just absolutely dominant. So, yeah, that's a fair assessment to make. And, again, it's tough to predict how anybody will play once the playoffs start, but I would agree with that assessment that they probably are better than they were 1 year ago.
Well, Gabe, thanks so much for joining us today on the Sunny Side of Sports. We wish you a lot of luck getting through the next few weeks with, I'm sure, what will be a number of very late nights for you. Maybe we'll get a chance to check in with you down the road, but have a great October.
Appreciate that, Dan. We'll definitely talk soon.
Thanks again, Gabe. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm sitting here with my Cleveland Indians shirt on, so you know which team I'll be rooting for in the playoffs. As Gabe said, the Indians have come close twice in the last 20 years, losing the World Series in a Game 7 in both 1997 and in 2016. So maybe this will be the team's year. Here's a reminder that Sonny will be back on Monday, and I want to thank him for letting me come in and keep the big chair warm while he's been out. I also want to thank our next contributor, Gwen Uten, with whom I could not put together this show each day. Thank you so much, Gwen. Gwen has this report on the Youth Olympics, which are just getting started in Argentina. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Nearly 4,000 athletes are in Buenos Aires to compete in this year's Youth Olympic Games. Argentina's president, Mauricio Macri, visited the young Olympians earlier this week and commended them for the many hours and days they've spent training to achieve their goal. The athletes, aged from 15 to 18, will represent 206 countries and compete in 32 sporting events, including several new ones, like karate, futsal, beach handball, and roller speed skating. Ahead of the games, Thomas Bach, president of the International Olympic Committee, said the new additions will allow the athletes to connect with the people of Buenos Aires.
You will see sports in the center of the city. So these young athletes, they will be open to partner up with the population of Buenos Aires, and there will be initiation programs to sports being offered, and the opening ceremony will be in the center of the city at the obelisk, and therefore drawing the attention of the porteños, of the people of Buenos Aires, in a very special way.
The 2014 Youth Olympics, held in Nanjing, China, saw the debut of skateboarding, and it garnered so much excitement the sport is included in this year's Youth Olympics, and it's been added to the Tokyo Olympics coming up in 2020. Professional skateboarder Tony Hawk says he's happy to see his beloved sport featured on the international stage.
The thing I'm looking forward to most is to see the athletes from all over the world, because skateboarding is obviously new to the Olympics coming into 2020. And so there's going to be a whole influx of skaters from countries that we've never realized had skate scenes. And so I'm looking forward to seeing which countries are represented and to see all the athletes from all over. I mean, that's the most exciting thing. That's what the Olympics are all about, is bringing the world together through sport.
Well, the world will come together for the third edition of the Youth Olympic Games on Saturday. The event concludes on October 18th, and that ends the week. Dan, back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, Gwen. I hope you have a great weekend, too. We'll be back with more of the Sunny Side of Sports after this.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
We'll cap off this week with a look ahead at Monday night's National Football League game, featuring the local team, the Washington Redskins, against the New Orleans Saints. Many people will be looking for the dynamic and Hall of Fame-bound Drew Brees to light it up that night, as he looks to become the quarterback with the most ever passing yards in league history. But I'll be excited to watch Alvin Kamara, the second-year running back who grew up in the state of Georgia, but whose mother is from Liberia. Kamara has the honor of becoming the first player in NFL history to get 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in his first 20 professional games. A Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to a player to watch every weekend, Alvin Kamara. And that wraps up the October 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. It's been my pleasure to visit with you each day of the last 2 weeks. Have a great weekend. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two-Face. Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, U.S. First Lady Melania Trump visits Africa. Mrs. Trump is promoting child well-being during her stops in Ghana, Kenya, Malawi, and Egypt. The U.S. First Lady visits Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. First Lady Melania Trump goes to Africa. J. Peter Pham, director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, and Jennifer Cook, director of the Institute for African Studies at the George Washington University, talk about the First Lady's trip to Ghana, Malawi, Kenya, and Egypt, as well as the latest on U.S.-Sudanese relations. That's Encounter, Saturday and Sunday, on The Voice of America.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.